Thank you, the pastors, for giving me this opportunity. It's always an honor and always a privilege to be able to share the word of God and to share what Christ is speaking. And I enjoy the process of just hearing from God and asking God, you know, what should be shared when given the opportunity. And I believe today God wants to speak to us once again. But before we do that, I believe I asked the helpers today, helpers of the day, to give out A4 papers to every single one of us. Alright, let's appreciate the helpers of today. We have Krisa and Ashton. Alright, you must honor these people. Young champions. Alright, just pass the A4 paper around and I will tell you what to do. So this past couple of weeks, we've been busy. In fact, the past couple of months, we've been busy with floorball. The floorball season is back. Division 2 is going on last week, this week, and closing will be next week. But today I thought I'm going to, you know, switch it up a bit and not talk about floorball. Instead, talk about boxing. Okay? So all of us know about the Manny Pacquiao and what's his name? Floyd Mayweather. Floyd Mayweather. Yes, that's his name. Okay, everybody knows about that big, don't know, okay lah, it's like this huge, I also don't really know about boxing, but apparently it's like this huge fight of the century, apparently. Alright, between Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather. But today I basically want to use that as an analogy to what I want to share in regards to the whole area of, last week we learned the fifth A, let's recap. The first A, I must do like Pastor Ed, okay. First A, attitude. Second A, third, fourth, and the fifth one, advance, right? Alright, so on a piece of paper now, you have at the either top corner, whichever, whether left or right, doesn't really matter. Alright, I want you to think of one area. Alright, in which you believe that God wants you to advance this season. Alright, just write it down. Try to be as specific as possible, because the more specific you are, the more clearer you are about where God wants you to move in. Alright, so what is the one area that you believe that God wants you to advance in this season? Okay, that if there's the one thing that first thing that pops into your head, that's probably it lah. Okay, so think of that one area in which God wants you to advance this season. Alright, write it at the top corner, whichever left or right, doesn't really matter. Okay? Gone, huh? Hard to think, huh? No, right? Okay, everybody should, you know, at the tip of your finger. Alright, at the bottom, opposing corner, alright, I want you to write, what is the challenge that you face in advancing that particular area? What's the main challenge that you face in advancing in that particular area that you just written down? Okay, I don't know what you wrote down, but okay. What is the one biggest obstacle that is, you know, hindering you from advancing in that particular area? Okay, I need to keep track of time. Okay, gone, huh? So, okay, we will use that piece of paper later on. So today I want to continue on. I believe that God wants to talk to us about, share with us about this whole area of advancing. Alright, and in light of the recent fight of the century, okay, between Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather, okay, if you know Manny Pacquiao or not, you know, majority of you know who's that, right? Okay, you should go and like his Facebook, okay, because this guy is a real champion for Christ, okay. I'm really inspired by his fervency and his dedication to share the word of Christ and his life. So he's really an inspiration. Alright, so I want to use boxing as an analogy today. Okay, so today, the fight is between those two corners, between the thing that you want to advance in, that you believe God is advancing, wants you to advance, and between that thing that you just written down, the obstacle. Alright, these are the two things that we will talk about today. Alright, so if you're writing notes, alright, the title for today will be Taking the Jabs. Okay, you know, boxing you will get punched, right? That's called the jab. Alright, but swinging the knockout punch. Alright, so you must be able to take the jabs. But at the same time, you cannot just sit there and just kena whack lah. Okay, you need to be able to swing the knockout punches. Alright, so in advancing to the change in which God wants us to undertake, we must understand that it takes preparation. Everybody knows that, okay? In order for us to advance into the area that God wants us to advance in, you know, it's not an overnight thing, okay? It needs preparation. Everything that God prepares us takes time for preparation, whether mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically. Alright? All those takes time. And make no mistakes, because even when, however much you prepare, alright, I learned this from Hillsong Conference last year, okay, when I went for a talk. The speaker said this, you know, no matter how good a boxer you are, alright, you can be Manny Pacquiao, you can be the best boxer, but the moment you step in the ring, no matter how good you are, you will kena whack. Alright, you will step out of the ring with few punches on your face. Alright, you cannot avoid, because if you're in the ring, means you must be prepared to take the jabs. Alright, but that's not it, okay. The of course, at the end of it, you have to be able to give it back, okay, and swing the knockout punches to win the round. Alright, so in order for us to look at this whole area of advancing, I want to share from Genesis 37, okay, the life of Joseph. Okay, everybody's familiar with this passage. I'm sure the youth did this before, right? Yeah, I remember, because Kai Sheng acted. Okay. I want to use this as our scripture reference today. Yeah? Genesis 37. Okay, let's read from verse 1. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made a richly ornamented robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field, when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." His brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream. I had another dream, and this time the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in hand. Alright, so last week, Pastor Ed preached on 4 R. What are the 4 R? Can you remember or not? Hololo. Come on, people. The first R, reverence. Second R, revelation. All looking notes. Okay, restrain, right? And reserve. Alright, I want to basically today, I feel as if the Lord wants to reiterate certain things and to emphasize on certain things. And today I want to share four tactics in which the enemy uses in order for us to not move into where God wants us to advance in. Alright, 4 tactics that the enemy uses in order to put a wall where God wants us to advance in. Alright, and all these things are common, but I feel as if the Lord wants to remind us certain things. Now, Joseph was was 17 years old when he received the revelation, and subsequently he experienced a series of persecution from his family, right? So everybody knows this story, okay? He's 17 years old, this young fella, okay? And then he boasts to his brothers and say, you know, you guys are gonna bow down to me. I'm gonna rule over you. And he got persecuted for that. And all of us, okay, when we write down, the thing that, you know, you feel that God is wanting you to advance in this season, that's basically the dream or the revelation that God has given you this season. Alright, and you have to believe it. Alright, so whatever you wrote down there, that is the one, that's the thing that God has challenged you to advance in, and that is a dream or a revelation that God has given you this season. Alright, it could be a simplest thing, okay? It need not be like, wow, you know, you rule over Penang or something like that, okay? It don't need to be so big, okay? It could be a small thing, okay? It could be a small thing, but a huge thing for you, okay? And all of us this season, I believe, at every time, at any point in time, God gives us a dream or a revelation that we need to move in. But whenever God gives us that revelation and the dream, the first round, okay, we talk about boxing, Alright, the first round, the first tactic that the enemy will use is persecution. Alright, in order for us not to advance in the revelation and the dream that God has given us, the first thing that will come in your way is persecution. And the first point, if you're writing down, the first point I want to share is persecution is the byproduct of God's conviction. Alright, persecution is the byproduct of God's conviction. Whenever God gives you a conviction to do something, alright, and if you do it, you are promised to face persecution. Alright, you cannot run away. And that itself is an assurance that, you know, you are walking the right way. Alright, as bad as it may sound, but that's an assurance that you are walking in the right way. Now, Joseph was 17 years old, very young, and yet the moment when he received that revelation and when he shared it, as young as he may be, immediately the persecution come. And the persecution came from the closest people that he had. Alright, the brothers. So persecution is the basic form of reinstating our godly conviction. Now, I don't know how many of you asked for a conviction or a vision in your life, okay? If you have not, I want to challenge you to do that, okay? Because whenever you ask God to give you a conviction, it is something that will totally transform your life, okay? If you follow it, it will compel you to change your life in a big way. Alright, and here Joseph, 17 years old. Alright, we will fast forward later on. 17 years old, he received the revelation, and when he followed through, and when he received the revelation, and he went through the persecution. Alright, when he went through the persecution and endured the persecution, at the end of, or rather not the end lah, okay, but at the end of the story, we know that he was reunited with his family. Alright, that was the reward that he received when he received the revelation and endured the persecution. So persecution will come because it is the byproduct of godly conviction. And Joseph received the revelation twice. Alright, and each time he received the persecution increased. Alright, the first time he received the brother, okay, the brother couldn't catch him and say, yeah, you know, you think you're gonna rule over us. The second time he received it, he switched it up, okay? He didn't just share to his brother. He shared even to his father about the revelation. And the persecution automatically increased because the father, who is, you know, he's the favorite son, but yet the father also persecuted him and said, are you intending to rule over us? Alright, so whenever God gives us conviction, and if God gives us the conviction more than once, don't hide it anymore. Alright? In fact, you have to be ready to declare it and be ready for the persecution to come. Alright, so in your piece of paper right now, alright, the thing that you written up there, okay, you said, you know, I believe that this season God wants me to advance in this particular area. I want you to ask yourself this question right now. What are some of the persecution that you are facing in this area? Alright, it could be, I don't know, it could be maybe your family is one of them, okay? In this case, like Joseph, okay, the family is part and parcel of the persecution. It could be maybe your friends, Okay, maybe it could be maybe your yourself even. I don't know. All right, but what are some of the persecution that we are facing this season in advancing forward? All right, if we are not facing any persecution, then maybe we should ask, you know, are we actually walking and embracing that revelation and that dream that God has given us to advance forward? 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 12, it says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. All right, but we must bear in mind, okay, a lot of times we think, well, persecution is, you know, wow, you know, we face persecution, we are the one who suffer. Alright, but if we look at the bigger picture, alright, and we look at the bigger picture, persecution is there not to bring us down per se. Alright, persecution is not there to bring us down per se, but it is to bring God's plan into ruin. Alright, so if we have that bigger perspective of what's happening in terms of facing persecution, we will understand that God, persecution is not there to, you know, hurt us. Okay, of course, you know, if it's a physical persecution, then we'll get hurt and injured and whatever not. But beyond that physical realm, persecution is there to bring down God's plan and purposes for us and for the world. Alright, so the decision that we make when we face persecution is crucial, because we are holding this responsibility to uphold God's plan. All right. And if we give up in the midst of persecution, we are giving up God's intended plan for us and for the people around us. Persecution is the byproduct of godly conviction. How convicted are we about the areas that God wants us to advance in? All right. And a lot of times we just look at this one small thing. Okay. We just look at it and say, no, this is just going to affect us, but we don't know the intent, the immensity of God's plan. And we will never understand it until we walk in it. All right. The moment we walk in it, we realize that we will create ripples of effects, that will change communities, that will change lives, that will change nations. And you look at Joseph, okay, the moment he received that, he changed the nation at the end of the, you know, you fast forward a few years down the road. He became basically a prime minister, all right? And he changed the nation, all right? He has the authority. So we don't know how much change we will make if we quit in the midst of persecution. Alright, if we quit in round one, okay, when persecution come up, hantam you a few box and then you give up, you KO. Alright, then we will never go through the next round and we will never understand how much we can do for Christ. How much impact Christ can use us in advancing ourselves and the people around us. Alright? So take time. Alright, so take time now. I want you to write down in that middle piece of paper that you the song you write, right? I want you to write or ask yourself, take time to reflect in the area in which you wrote down you feel that God is pushing you to advance in. What sort of persecution are you currently facing? Alright, be specific. You know, what are the areas that you feel as if you are being persecuted for? Okay, and now ask yourself the harder question. Who is winning the round? Okay, are you winning the round or are you the one, you know, kena hantam persecutor, you want to feel like you feel like giving up? Alright, who is winning that round? Okay, who is winning that round in advancing? Alright, is persecution beating you down? Are you ready to get up, you know, go for round two, go for round three until you swing the knockout punch? Alright, we need to keep getting up. We need to keep getting up and face and embrace, more so embracing the revelation and the dream that God has given us. Round two. Okay, let's fast forward a bit. So the first one is persecution, okay? That one we, in advancing forward, we will face persecution. Round two, let's look at, continue on, from verse 12. Now his brothers had gone to graze their father's flock near Shechem, and Israel said to Joseph, as you know, your brothers are grazing the flocks near Shechem. Come, I am going to send you to them. Very well, he replied. So he said to them, go and see if all is well with your brothers and with the flocks, and bring word back to me. Then he sent him off from the valley of Hebron. When Joseph arrived at Shechem, a man found him wandering around in the fields and asked him, what are you looking for? He replied, I'm looking for my brothers. Can you tell me where they are grazing their flocks? They have moved on from here, the man answered. I heard them say, let's go to Dothan. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them near Dothan. But they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. Here comes that dreamer, they said to each other. Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him, then we'll see what comes out of his dream. When Reuben heard this, he tried to rescue him from their hands. Let's not take his life, he said. Don't shed any blood. Throw him into the cistern here in the desert, but don't lay a hand on him. Reuben said this to rescue him from them and take him back to his father. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him off his robe, the richly ornamented robe he was wearing, and they took him and threw him into the cistern. Now the cistern was empty. There was no water in it. Round two. First is persecution. Second way that the enemy will stop us from advancing is rejection. All right, rejection is the byproduct of self-obsession. Okay, let me explain. Okay, so Joseph was instructed by his father, okay, to go and see if all is well. Okay, so his instruction was a righteous instruction, right? Okay, go and check on your brother. Basically, in our context, you know, hey, go and check on your brother, see whether they are okay or not. Alright, so, you know, he being a good brother, he said, okay, you know, I'm going to do my job, I'm going to go and visit my brother and see, you know, whether they are safe, whether they are healthy, you know, whether they need food, blah, blah, blah. So he went. But what happened? The brothers, on the other hand, hated this guy, right? So they plotted to kill Joseph. And they didn't just plot, but of course we see again a repetition of the persecution coming again. Alright, so before they threw him in the one, they, you know, persecute this guy again, say, you know, ah, you look at this, you know, the dreamer is coming again. Let's kill him and see what comes out of his dream. Alright, so they are persecuting him, yet they are plotting to reject this brother. So they said, here comes the dreamer, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes out of his dream. And this reinforced what I said earlier on. Okay, a lot of times, the enemy is out there to kill and destroy, not us per se, but the vision that God has given us. Okay, so a lot of times the enemy is out there not to persecute or put us down per se, but the ultimate plan of the enemy is to kill and destroy the vision and the revelation that God has given us. Because when he does that, God's plan comes to a halt. And then they have the last laugh. And that was what the brother wanted to do. So why do I say rejection is the byproduct of self-obsession? Okay, let me explain. Okay, this is what I got out of it. A lot of times we have this system mentality. Alright? I'm gonna call it the system mentality. Let me explain. Because this Joseph has been given and instructed with a righteous, instruction. Go and look after your brother. Go and check whether your brother is okay. So this guy being, you know, a nice brother, go and check. But then he got rejected. And then he got thrown into the system. So a lot of times we function like Joseph, like that. Okay, we, you know, God gives us this revelation, you know, or, you know, do this for God, you know, do that for God. And then when we face this persecution or this rejection, then we fall into this system mentality and say, you know, God, you know, you give me this revelation, you know, you give me this, you know, you ask me to do this, but I do then, why you forsake me? Alright, and then we come into this pit where the obsession is about ourselves rather than God. Alright, the limelight is on us rather than God. Because, oh, it's all about me. God, I'm facing this. God, you know, I'm feeling like this. God, you know, I feel as if you're forsaking me, blah, 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 blah. Alright, so rejection a lot of times is birthed out of self-obsession. We feel as if we are not taken care enough. We feel as if we, you know, God didn't hear us, never answer our prayers, and so on and so forth. And then we get into this system mentality where we fall into that pit and we don't want to come out. So perhaps some of us is in that situation. And I believe some of us are in that situation where we get so absorbed with self-pity. So much so that we forgotten the bigger picture, which is to advance in the will and the plan that God has given us. Let me reinforce my point by bringing you back to the passage that Pastor Ed spoke on last week. Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 19. Okay, all of us know this story. Okay, last week we read, okay. Okay, Elijah, you know, run to the cave, you know, because he feel as if, you know, that everybody want to kill him. So this guy run to the cave, right? Like Elijah, the man of God, you know, wow, so powerful, right? But he came to a point whereby he went into the system mentality. He ran to the cave and he complained to God. God asked him, you know, what are you doing here? And then he complained to God and said, you know, I've been zealous for you, but you know, and now everybody wants to kill me. And the emphasis, if you read that context once again, Elijah is basically pointing the limelight at him and saying, you know, God, I'm doing this for you. I'm so zealous for you, but why am I in this situation? And then you know the story, okay, the earth shook, blah, blah, blah. And then God asked again, what are you doing here, Elijah? Then he explained again. And then after that, God asked him to move on. He get out of the cave. So it's as if God is telling Elijah, you think, okay, it may sound wrong, but I try to give this point, okay? It sounds as if God is telling you think your life is greater than my plans. You think your life is worth much more than the plans I have for you? Understand that? It blew my mind because I'm thinking, wow, okay, this is a revelation. So a lot of times we get into that system mentality and we think about ourselves. Yo, you know, I'm in this big pit, you know, nobody likes me. What's the song? The worm song? What? I don't know. nobody likes me, blah, blah, blah. okay, I don't know. I never knew that song. Alright, so a lot of us are in that sort of situation and the mentality, you know, self-pity mode, blah, blah, blah. But here today, I want to give you a wake-up call. God is asking you, what are you doing here? Get out of the cave. Get out of the pit. Get out of the system mentality. And sometimes, the best place to be, you look at Elijah, is to go back out and face what is ahead of him. Sometimes we think that getting out of the system is worse. Because you look at Joseph's case, right? He's in the system. And after that, the brother pulling him out. He knows if the brother pulls him out, he's gonna get it some more. Right now. Because the brother already threw him in the pit. Now the brother wanna take him up to sell him. Okay. If I'm Joseph, I'd rather not come out. I'd rather stay inside there and not face. But sometimes the best place to be is in that situation where we get persecuted, where we get, you know, rejected, but we are still within the will of God. That's the best place to be. Alright, so, question for us to think about. Are we valuing ourselves more than the plans of God? Okay, are we being self-obsessed with, I don't know, could be anything. So, I want you to ask yourself this question right now. What are you so absorbed about yourself? and be honest, right in the middle of the piece of paper that you have. Alright, some maybe, I mean, it could be as shallow as things like, you know, your looks, I don't know. Maybe your looks bother you, I don't know. Okay, it could be. It could be maybe your reputation at your workplace. Okay, you feel that, you know, you should be promoted, but then you're not. Then you get into this self-pity mode. Alright, it could be recognition. You long for recognition, but you didn't get it. It could be sense of belonging. Alright, maybe you come to, you know, every time you go to work or maybe even church, okay, and you feel like, oh, you know, nobody likes me, blah, blah, blah. Are you devaluing God's plan because of your self-obsession and self-pity? Hard question, huh? But we have to ask the question, huh? Alright? Are you devaluing God's plan because of the system mentality? So today, the challenge for us is to, come on guys, let's get out. Let's get out of the system, let's get out of the cave and walk in the will of God. Walk in the area that God wants us to advance in. Now, I'm not saying that rejection is something easy to deal with. Okay, everybody faces rejection. Okay, I'm not saying that, well, you know, I'm not belittling rejection. Rejection either, it is a real issue that we have to deal with. And for some of us, the rejection and the hurt is deep. Alright, but what I'm saying today is, if we have the bigger picture and understand that if we are in the state of rejection all the time, we are not functioning how God wants us to function. Alright, so today I want you all to understand that concept first. Alright, and then make a choice today to get out of that system mentality. It may take time. I'm not saying like, wow, tomorrow you feel like, wow. Okay, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that we have to begin to take steps to get out of that system mentality, or else we'll just go in a cycle week after week, you know, feeling this weight upon us. Alright? Round 2, rejection is the product of self-obsession. Round 3, if we read later on, chapter 39. Okay, so all of us are familiar with this passage. I just want us to read it so that refresh our memory. Round 3. Alright, so first one you said persecution. Second, rejection. The third one, temptation is the byproduct of making godly decisions. Alright, temptation is the byproduct of making godly decisions. Whenever we make decisions to honor God, and in this case we look at Joseph's life. Alright, Joseph knew very well that God has called him to do and knew what he needs to do to live up to the calling God has placed in his life. Alright, chapter 39 verse 6, it says that he did not care himself with anything except the food he ate. That talks about devotion, isn't it? That talks about devotion to the things of God. The devotion in terms of focusing on what God has called him to do. Alright, he had everything that a man could have. He had it. Possession, power, reputation. But he wasn't concerned. He doesn't want to concern himself with all those things. Alright? Dedicating his total being solely to God and not to material cares. Alright? He said, how then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? So he knew the responsibility. He knew that the moment he received the revelation and the dream that God has given him when he was 17 years old, he knew he had to uphold it with integrity. Alright, so if we manage to pull through round 1, round 2, you can be sure round 3 will come, okay, and that's temptation. Because whenever we make godly decisions, the enemy will come and tempt you with some other thing. Alright, so I ask myself this question. Do you think Joseph was tempted or not? He sound like, wow, no lah, he's not tempted, he's, you know. Do you think he's tempted or not? God. Ruben, you got? Should be, Alright, I so asked the question. I said, do you think, Joseph, I think he did. Alright, and if you look at it, Joseph made a stand, a godly decision that would be his ethos and principle by which he lived by. Then what happens? The enemy comes jabbing him with, of course, in this case, sexual temptation. All right, seducing him. What does it say? Day after day. All right, day after day. So it was persistent temptation. Okay, it's not just like, well, you know, one day and then, you know, next month. All right, next year. This is day after day. This guy is facing the temptation day after day. All right, so it's real stuff. Okay, so for us, even today, all right, we may put into our context, you know, what are some of the temptations that we face that is bringing us away and distracting us away from advancing where God wants us to be? Okay, it need not necessarily be sexual temptation, lah. Okay, maybe some of us face, I don't know, temptation to hang out with your friends rather than coming to church. Alright, it could be, I don't know, temptation to earn more money, okay? So church is secondary, okay? My relationship with God is secondary. It could be this thing. Whatever it is that is distracting us from walking and running in the revelation and the dream or the vision that God has given us, then we are in trouble. So you look at Joseph's life, he took drastic steps. All right, what did the scripture say? Chapter 39, verse 10, it says he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. All right, scripture never goes wrong, right? All right, in the Bible it says, you know, if temptation comes, you cannot handle it. What does it say? Flee. Run. All right, so for us right now, I want us to ask the hard question. Okay, what are some of the temptations that we are facing in our lives that's drawing us away from walking and advancing where God wants us to be? Okay, and we have to be honest with ourselves. Okay, we cannot beat around the bush. All right, no point, because God knows anyway. So don't beat around the bush. Ask yourself, what are the temptations that you're facing? Alright, and whether you are falling for it already. If you're falling for it, then you have to really ask God to pull you out from it. Alright, don't get caught in the cycle where you fall into it and you just keep doing it. Alright, we have to be able to identify what are the temptations that we are facing in walking and running in the will of God and the revelation that God has given us and get out of it and flee. Don't even be under the same roof with the particular temptation. Alright, in this case, you know, Joseph took drastic step. You know, whenever she's there, he goes the opposing direction. Alright, so in the middle of your piece of paper, ask yourself, what are some of the temptations that you're facing in walking in the revelation or in advancing where God wants you to be? Alright, ask yourself the hard question and write it down. Round 4, this is my last point, and I want to end with, it sounds very negative, right? My sharing today, persecution lah, rejection lah, temptation lah. Okay. But I want to end with, this fact. Alright? And round 4, alright, the point is this: delayed gratification is Christ's aspiration. Alright? Delayed gratification is Christ's, aspiration. Alright? Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 1 to 3. Can we look at that? Okay, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us, and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Delayed gratification is Christ's aspiration, meaning to say that Christ, when he was on the cross, he knew that he had to endure that. pain, that scorning, that shame. But the moment he get past that, he know that the joy and the gratification that comes out of it is there waiting for him. So Christ's aspiration on that cross, to endure that cross, was the sense and the knowing and the reality of that delayed gratification that he can have the moment he gets past that suffering, that scorning and that shame. Joseph was 17 years old. Let's rewind all the way back again to the front. Joseph was 17 years old when he received the revelation and the dream. All right, you fast forward 22 years later. All right, he's 39 years old. He's, you know, he's a very powerful man. All right, almost as good as saying he's the prime minister. And if you look back through his 22 years of life, all right, in that gap between 17 and 39, he was persecuted. Not by his friends, and not by his family. All right, can you imagine? You know, your family sell you off. Cannot, right? All right, he endured that. All right, he endured rejection by his brothers. He endured temptation day after day. You know, the temptation is there. He endured. Even be, you know, some of you know the story that he interpreted the dream, alright, but then he asked the cupbearer, remember me, but of course the cupbearer forgotten him, right? Even forgotten. No recognition whatsoever. Later on only. He endured all those in that 22 years of life, and at the end of that, 22 years, 39, that delayed gratification was there because he was reunited with his family. If he had not endured, alright, if he had not endured, at some point he gave up, he would not have seen the joy that comes out of it. Alright, he would not have gained that sort of authority that he has to change nation. He would not have been reunited with his family. Delayed gratification is Christ's aspiration. So this brings me back to Pastor Ed's point last week. Sometimes the best way to advance is to be still. Alright, sometimes the best way to advance is to be still and be patient. Alright, be patient. Alright, we are living in a world where everything is instant. Alright, instant is the best. Alright, but sometimes God's way requires time, because God's way builds upon trust and faith. And trust and faith can only begin through time. It's not an overnight thing. So, the question we need to ask ourselves, what are we being impatient with God right now? In what areas must we learn to be still? In what areas must we learn to just say, God, teach me to hold on. Hold on long enough for me to see the gratification that will come out of it. So on your piece of paper, top corner is where God wants you to be. Bottom corner is where the enemy wants you to be. Today I want you to ask yourself, alright, each round one persecution, second round, rejection, third round, temptation, fourth round, delayed gratification. Are we winning those rounds or are we giving in? Alright, are we winning those rounds or not, or are we giving in? Alright, sometimes, I really believe God is asking us, you know, the question that that he asked Elijah, you know, what are we doing? What are we doing? So that piece of paper, it's something for y'all to go back and pray through and really ask God and seek God's face and ask God, you know, how can you overcome those things? How can you take the jabs? The fact is we will get jabbed. Okay, we cannot run away from it. All right. The question is whether we are strong enough to stand up and swing the knockout punch. All right. And we have to ask God and seek God for that strength, that spiritual strength to stand up every time we get hit and swing the knockout punch. Alright, let's stand. I just want to pray for all of us. Let's just close our eyes and ask God, you know, where are we right now in terms of advancing where He wants us to be? I think sometimes asking the hard questions is good for us because it gives us some reality check. And as you close your eyes, I want you to reflect on the things that you've written down. I don't know what you've written down. All right, but that bottom corner piece, the thing that you wrote at the bottom corner, all right, will fall inevitably in one of the 4 points that I mentioned. All right, it could be persecution. You're facing persecution. That's your biggest obstacle. It could be rejection. It could be temptation. It could be because you're impatient. All right, that bottom corner obstacle that you're facing, it will probably fall in one of these 4 categories. And so I want all of us to just ask God for that strength to bring us out of it, get out of the system mentality, get out of that cave, and just like Christ, embrace the joy that is set before us and not be too concerned about ourselves, although practically we need to. But at the end of the day, it is God's purposes and God's plan that is most important. Father, we want to give you thanks for reminding us, Father Lord, that our life and who we are, Father Lord, the value of who we are, Father Lord, lies in you. And Father, we want to be reminded that although persecution will come, although rejection will come, Father Lord, although temptation is there constantly tempting us, Father Lord, and although it is hard to embrace delayed gratification, Father Lord, we want to ask, Lord, that you will give us that strength to carry on, Father Lord, that strength to advance forward, Father Lord. For all of us, Father Lord, who are struggling in one of these areas, Father Lord, we ask that you would speak to us right now, Father Lord. Even as we seek your face, Father Lord, that you would speak to us and you would give us the assurance that we are within your will, Father Lord. We are functioning within your will. For those of us, Father Lord, who have went astray, Father Lord, we ask, Lord, that you bring us back into the right path, Father Lord, where you are, Father Lord. So we surrender ourselves into your hands. We ask, Lord, that you would speak to us and teach us to take the hits and yet swing the knockout punches, Father Lord. We thank you for your word that is so alive in us. We thank you, Father Lord, for giving us the assurance in Christ Jesus. In all these things, we surrender ourselves into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus, for your word upon our lives. We ask, Lord, that it will take root, bear much fruit. Hallelujah. You know, church, the Bible tells us that God's will is good, is pleasing, is perfect. Romans chapter 12 tells us that, right? Verse 2. And the earlier part of the verse, it says that we need to come before the Lord and ask God to renew our minds. I just came from Sabah coaching them, the team there. And one of the things that we mentioned is that, you know, sometimes our mind is weak. When our mind is weak, we don't really want to play as we should play. And mental strength is so very important. And even in the spirit realm, it is so important as well. And you look at the story of Joseph, right? I mean, he's bashed up, he's beaten, he's thrown around. What keeps him going? Not only your heart, but a mind that is totally focused on God, which then, you know, is generated into a passion to want to follow after His will. That's the heart. But unless our mind is renewed, a lot of times we give in to the flesh. We give in to the worldly desires. And therefore Paul says in Romans chapter 12, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. The reason why we conform is because we have a quote-unquote weak mind. Don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to know, to test and see what God's will is, His good, pleasing, perfect will. Joseph understood the will of God because God gave him a revelation. And I'm sure for each one of us here, big revelation, small revelation doesn't really matter, really. Because when it's from God, it's big. You know, many times people come and say, you know, my revelation of God to me is very small. His vision for me is very small. My response is this, if it's from God, it's always big. And it's only because our mind is, you know, all twisted and all that. We seem to think that things coming from God is small stuff, because we don't really know Him. You know, our God is a big God, amen? And even if He gives us what we think are small projects, let me tell you this, it's a big project because it came from a big God. His will, good, pleasing will, is always big in our lives. His love extends to us in a big way. You know, it's only the devil who comes and tells us, you know, God loves us so little, small. But God is always big. And when you come to God and say, God, today, we ask this question, are we ready to face all the tough questions? I know. What happens when rejection comes? You know, it begins up here, in the renewing of the mind. And then it goes down to our heart and says, hey, come on, man. Give me a few more jabs. I can take it. No problem. Right? How many of us dare to say, yeah, give me the jabs. A lot of times we want to go in. Have you watched boxing matches whereby you go in, Mike Tyson, he goes in and, you know, within 10 seconds tries to whack the fellow out. And we wish our life would be like that. We enter into the ring, we just one punch. Nobody jabs us, one punch, that's it. You know, the other guy gets knocked out. That's not the reality of life. God puts us through trials, temptation, yeah. And we need to come and say, yeah, I'm gonna exercise delayed gratification. Because your plan is good, is pleasing, is perfect. And it's big. And I'm going to choose to live it up. Amen. As we come before the Lord right now, we tell God, Lord, thank you for your word. Powerful word. I choose this day. I choose. Joshua. He said this, as for me and my household. But he's saying, I choose, we will serve the Lord. I choose to serve the Lord. Today we say, I choose to live God's will out in my life. And when we are tempted, we rise up and say, I choose to live God's will in my life. When we are rejected, we say, I choose to live God's will in my life. I choose to renew my mind. Let's surrender to the Lord right now.
To the ends of the earth, I follow after you. I want the world to know your love and yours forever. Tell me and I will obey. This is our prayer. Done. Here I stand within your presence, longing for your touch. A thousand days cannot compare to one day in your cause. Hold me now and never ever let me go. My Jesus, my precious Savior, I'm forever yours. I will worship my all to you. Send me and I will go for you to the ends. I follow after you. I want the world to know. Help me and I will obey. Sacrifice. It's in you and not myself. I'll always lead to blessing. I want the way in me. I will yours be done. Here I stand within your presence, longing for your touch. A thousand days cannot compare to one day in your cause. Hold me now and never ever let me go. A thousand days cannot compare one day in your call. Hold me now and never ever let me go. My Jesus, my precious Savior, I'm forever yours.
We choose, Lord.
And I will worship you forever. I will worship you. And I will worship you forever. I will worship you. I will worship you now. Oh, forever I
worship you.
Oh, now worship you forever. I will worship you.
Yeah.
your touch. To one day in your cause. Hold me now and never ever let me go. My Jesus, my precious Savior, here I am. Here I am within your presence, longing for your touch. A thousand days cannot compare. Oh, hold me now and never ever let me go. My Jesus, my precious Savior, I'm forever yours. Yeah.
That is the choice we make this day, to say, Lord, I'm forever yours. We choose this day to live out your plan, your purposes in our lives. Lord, we say this and we declare this out loud, that whatever befall us, we ask that your strength will come. And we know, Lord, with confidence, because you have said it in your word, that you never leave us. You never forsake us. And so when trials come, when temptations come, when rejection comes, when difficulty comes, we choose to stand strong. We choose to live out your plan for our lives. We thank you, God, that your plans for our lives are big plans. We thank you, God, that your love for us is overwhelming. And we say we love you, Lord. We choose this day to live out your plans. We thank you for your plans in our lives. We thank you for your purposes in our lives. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you will give us strength as well. Courage, boldness. When the punches come, to stand strong. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that empowers us. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. That we have strength, not only physical strength, but strength from within. Strength that comes from the heavenlies. Thank you. Father, I pray that you bless your people right now. And that you renew that vision that you have given to us. And as you renew it, Lord, we will also renew our commitment to you. As we give you thanks in Jesus' name. All God's people say, amen. Why don't you give the Lord a praise and a clap offering?
And I will worship you forever. I will worship you. And I will worship you forever. I will worship you. And I will worship you. Forever, I will worship you, and I will worship you. Forever, I will worship you. One more time, I will worship, and I will worship you. Forever, I will worship you. Here I stand within your presence, longing for your touch. A thousand days cannot compare. Hold me now and never ever let me go. My Jesus, my precious Savior, I'm forever yours. We thank you, Lord. I'm forever yours.
We ask, Lord, that your blessing, your presence will go before your people. Cause us this week, Lord, to be excited about what you are doing in our lives. Cause your word to be on our lips, Lord, every single day. Let it not depart from our mouth. Let us meditate on your word daily and live out your word in our lives. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. All God's people say, amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, give them a high five, big hug, encourage them in the Lord. Say, the Lord is with you. Bless them. Pray for them. Release a word. The Lord bless you all, church.